sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
As if returning to work after maternity leave isn't difficult enough, dealing with an employer who is less than supportive of your pumping rights can definitely add an unnecessary stress. What are your pumping rights when you return to work, and how can you make sure they are properly enforced and upheld? Today, I'm excited to introduce Wendy Wright, a private practice, international board certified lactation consultant and founder of Lactation Navigation, a business based in the Bay Area in California that helps support breastfeeding moms and businesses they work for. Today, we are discussing workplace lactation and the rights that protect pumping moms at work. This is The Boob Group, episode 42.
Breast milk, it does a baby good.
Silly daddy, boobs are for babies.
I make milk. What's your superpower?
If my breastfeeding offends you, put a blanket over your head.
Dairy diva.
Don't be lactose intolerant.
Nursing nature's own breast enhancement.
Meals on heels.
Whoever said there's no use crying over spilled milk never had to pump.
Breast milk. All udders are inferior.
Whatever your point of view, we're here to support your breastfeeding goals. We're the Boob Group, because mothers know breast. Welcome to The Boob Group, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. I'm your host, Robin Kaplan. I'm also an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant and owner of the San Diego Breastfeeding Center. At The Boob Group, we're your online support group for all things related to breastfeeding. Have you signed up for our newsletter yet? This is one of the best ways to stay informed about our new episodes, giveaways, and blog posts. Also, if you sign up today, you will be entered in our giveaway for a free month membership to our Boob Group Club, which gives you access to all of our archived episodes. Today, I'm joined by three lovely panelists in the studios. Ladies, will you please introduce yourselves?
Hello, my name is Rosario Rodriguez. I am 30 years old, and I have two girls, ages 2.5, almost 3, and a 3-month-old.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Flandreau. I'm 31 years old. I'm a postdoctoral research fellow, and I have one daughter, a 6-month-old, almost 7-month-old, named Vivian.
And I'm Christine McCarty. I am 23. I'm a sailor, and I have one child who is 9 months old.
And she's the one making all the little Zerberts.
Sorry, she's got an opinion.
She does. She wants to be part of the show as well. So if you hear a little babbling, it's that sweet little gorgeous little baby in this.
Future Boob Group follower.
Exactly. Well, welcome to the show, ladies.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
And before we start our show, here's a boob oops from one of our listeners.
So I was going through Disneyland for my first time ever, and this little one was about 6 months old, and I was walking around feeding her, and she pulled off, and milk squirt out and actually hit some guy on the arm. And he didn't even notice, and I had to tell him. I was like, sir, I'm so sorry, but this just happened. And he was like, oh, no problem. My wife breastfed all 4 of our kids. I've been squirt on a couple times.
That's
I was just like, oh,
awesome.
I'm so sorry.
That is a fantastic boob oops. Thank you for sharing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today on The Boob Group, we're discussing workplace lactation and the laws that protect pumping moms at work. Our expert, Wendy Wright, is an International Board Certified Lactation Consultant and founder of Lactation Navigation in the Bay Area in California, which focuses on supporting and advising working breastfeeding moms, as well as helping to set up corporate lactation programs. She is also the creator of the Work and Pump iPhone app. Thanks for joining us, Wendy, and welcome to the show.
Great, Robin. Thanks for having me.
So, Wendy, can you describe the spectrum of workplace lactation laws in the United States? Because I know that they differ from state to state. And, you know, what is provided by the very least by the federal law?
Yeah, that is a very, very confusing topic right now. As you may know, the federal law is relatively new. It became signed into law by President Obama effective March 23rd, 2010. So there are provisions within the federal law that if it is a stronger law than the state in which you reside, then the state's law will mandate what is required by your employer. However, if it is not stronger than the state in which you reside, then the federal law is the one that employers will be following. So you can see it's very, very confusing. About 20 states within the United States and territories have a stronger law than the federal law. So it's about half and half split. So again, it's really difficult to differentiate, and every woman should go on the internet, just type in Google, you know, your state's breastfeeding law, and there are several nice websites that outline the different comparisons between your own state and the federal law. So that's very, very helpful so that when you do speak with your employer, you're armed with knowledge.
Okay. And Wendy, can we dive into these laws a little bit? How do these laws vary from job to job? Should a mom be concerned if her workplace has less than 50 employees?
So that can be a concern, yes. So the federal law, in fact, in about 20 states where the federal law is the one that we're going by, if the employer does have fewer than 50 employees, there is a possibility that that woman will not be covered by the breastfeeding laws. The federal law specifically states that if it is a hardship for the employer, so the employer would need to prove that it is a hardship, but it's not that hard to prove. For example, in a small real estate company, if the woman is one of the only real estate agents and it was a day when they were extremely busy and deals needed to be closed, that would be an economic hardship for that employer, and she would not get a nursing break. So that would be an example of something that the employer could easily document. You know, hopefully we have a good rapport and enough interaction and understanding by the employer that they could make exceptions, but that's not always the case. Other examples are police departments in smaller areas. I've worked with helicopter pilots, for example, in emergency room situations in smaller communities, and those women are not given the opportunity to breastfeed at work, assuming they want to keep that job, which most of them do. So it can be very, very difficult. However, if your state, the other 20 so that are covered by the state's laws, those generally, and I'll speak for California because that's what I'm most familiar with, those generally say that any size employer, so even if you just had two people in your company, you would have to follow the law. So again, it's very important that each woman take a look at the laws for her state. And I do want to make one more comment. If you work for a company, for example, that's headquartered in the state of California, let's say Google, but you work for that company in the state of Texas, Google would be then covered by the California laws, not the state of Texas laws. Yeah, so it's very important that women know that where the headquarters is, that's the law that the company must follow. And it's actually, from a company perspective, much, much easier, because then they just follow one policy throughout, and it seems very fair for everyone.
Absolutely.
But people, you know, may talk to their neighbor down the street in Texas and be covered by different laws. So it can, again, be really confusing.
Absolutely. And Wendy, can you help define what a reasonable break time means? is there a limit to the number of minutes or the frequency a mom can pump during the day?
So that, I feel like every question is confusing.
That's they are.
The other, limitations of the federal law, and it's a good and a bad. So reasonable break time is what it actually states in there, and the federal government has been collecting advice from lactation consultants, employers, wellness coordinators to say, how shall we describe reasonable break time? I recommend when I work with my clients that they suggest a 30-minute break about every 4 hours. That's actually what is in the Oregon state law, which the federal law is primarily based after. And so it's kind of a nice, consistent thing for people to talk about. You don't really need a 30-minute break when you're pumping. However, my experience and the women I work with, by the time you, let's say you're going to pump from 10 to 10:30, by the time you actually get to the pumping room yeah. and get your bra on, it's probably 10:10, right? By the time you've walked there and done it all, then you pump for 15 minutes, most likely, clean up, walk back, maybe get a sip of water, put things in the refrigerator, and you're at 10:30. So I like to overestimate the amount of time, because then when you're back at the desk, you're actually back on time, and you seem to be a much, much more responsible employee than if you say, oh, my reasonable break would be 15 minutes because I pump for 15 minutes, but then you'll be late every time getting back to your desk, and that's not a good thing.
Yeah, that's such a stress, thinking that you're always behind, and so instead, yes. now you actually look like the person who's either early or on time.
Yes.
That's a great idea. And one last question before we open this up to our panelists. So is that break time considered unpaid time at work? And is it taken at regular break times? Like if someone is required by their state law to have 2 15-minute breaks and a 30-minute lunch, is that when they should be breastfeeding? Pumping.
Right. Yeah, so actually, if you are in a position that offers a break time and you're paid for that break time, and if you pump during that break time, you should be paid for it. So if you did take that 15 minutes in the 3 hours, you may take 30 minutes, for example, in the 3 hours, you will get compensated for 15 of them and not for the other 15 or any additional time that you took off. Then you would most likely take your lunch unpaid and pump on a lunch break, which would be a great time because you're eating anyway, and then you might pump once again on your afternoon break. Yeah, even in the most liberal states on these laws, there is absolutely no requirement to pay for time taken while pumping. So yes, if you can line it up with a paid break, that's the best economic way to go for women, assuming that paid break, you know, associates with the time when their breasts are feeling full.
Okay. Ladies, I'd like to open this up to you all. I was wondering, what are your current work situations, and do you pump at work, and for how long? Elizabeth?
I actually have a unique situation. My boss is incredibly supportive, and I work with UCSD, so they certainly follow all of the rules, but I actually work in 3 different buildings, and so I have a challenge of trying to find a time at a lactation room depending on what day I'm going to be and where I'm going to be there. And so I actually schedule myself always for a full hour in the lactation room, not because it matters to my boss when I'm going to be back to work, but because I don't necessarily know that I'll be able to get to the lactation room at that exact time and finish pumping and then be out of there in time for the next lady to come pump. So that's actually one of my biggest challenges. My employer, of course, is great. It's just really hard to find time depending on what I'm doing and depending on when other people need to pump. And I might not know, for example, I'm going to be at the VA until that morning. And so then I have to try to schedule the pumping room. And it does actually take me usually 30 minutes to actually express milk to get a second letdown. So during that time, I'm trying to answer emails on my iPhone if I can. And in some circumstances, it's easier for me to pump in a bathroom than to find the lactation room, because it takes me maybe 10 minutes just to get down the elevator and get into the room. And I might not have 10 minutes just because of the nature of my work.
Yeah. How about you, Christine? You have a unique situation being in the military.
I do. the military is actually really good, though, because I'm in the Navy. That's what branch I'm in. And the Navy has an instruction for lactating mothers. So it dictates that every command has to have a lactation room. It has to be lockable and private. It has to have running water. It has to have a refrigerator. So those are the bare minimums, but some commands go above and beyond, get flat screen TVs and couches. And
wow.
They paint it real nice. Yeah. Nice. So it's actually really, they are, under some opinions, encouraging of breastfeeding and lactation. I take a 20-minute to 30-minute break every 2 to 3 hours, depending on our workload, what I'm doing. I never exceed 3 hours. If I'm in the middle of something, my bosses understand, because I'm the only female that works where I work at. I'll just tell them, hey, I'm taking a break. I got to go pump. My boobs are going to explode if I don't. And they're men, so they don't want to hear about it. They say, okay, go get out of here and go pump whatever you got to do. Just come back when you can. And so it's actually, I've had no issues. It's been really easy for me.
That's fantastic. How about you, Rosario?
I've had half and half. The first, half of it is really good. My boss is really encouraging as well of breastfeeding and of giving me breaks. Although the workplace, I actually work at the University of San Diego, and they only have, it's a small private university, so they do have one lactation room, but it happens to be on the opposite side of campus.
Oh, it's a huge campus for one lactation room.
Yes. So then at first, I was having to walk like 10 minutes over there, spend another 15-20 pumping and, putting the bra on or taking all your supplies, putting them back in and everything, and like rushing back until I was the one that kind of went to HR and said, hey, we need to do something about this. And they were able to find a room that was closer to me.
Nice.
To use. And since I'm assuming I was the only one that made us think about it and or the only one that pumped, I pretty much had that room whenever I needed, so that was good. It was, a supply room. It wasn't pretty or anything, but it was, better than being there at my desk in front of everybody.
Absolutely. Wendy, what advice do you have for discussing pumping break options with an employer? And do you just go in with a plan and then be open to compromise? And when do you recommend having this conversation?
Yeah, I think it's best to go in during maternity leave, because you do need to know before you go back, if your employer is going to be accommodating or not, if you might need, for example, the woman that is working in three different places, she may benefit from having a couple of different pumps. Things like that are just important to know. So, yeah, definitely going in with a plan, probably having a backup copy of the law with you. I wouldn't begin with the law. It's a little threatening, and they may just be absolutely fine with it anyway. But just to go in and discuss your needs, that you're interested in breastfeeding, you might even, have a couple of little factoids in the back of your head that how that lowers insurance costs and, all these things that are beneficial for the employer, but that you do plan to come back from work and you will need 3 30-minute breaks or whatever you decide that you're going to need, and just let them know ahead of time. And you may also want to meet first with your boss, and then if the boss and you can meet jointly with the HR department, just so everyone's on the same page, it's really a nice way to go. And then if they don't have a room that's secure or private for you, that gives them several months to get something organized.
Okay. And ladies, when did you first have this conversation with your boss about when you wanted to pump, and how did it go? Was it weird at all? Christine, I would love, since you work in a place with all men, was it kind of weird talking to your boss about this?
It wasn't, because I'm really open about it and I'm very headstrong, and the men that I work with understand that. They knew that before I left to go on maternity leave, because I worked until the day that I went into labor.
Wow.
So they knew that it was my intention to breastfeed. And so when I came back, I said, hey guys, this is what's happening. If things change based upon my needs, I'll let you know. And I kind of forced them into a position to be okay with it, because I'm not going to take no for an answer when it comes to nutrition of my child.
Awesome, awesome. How about you, Elizabeth?
I actually, like I said, I have a 7-month-old. I've never actually had a conversation with my boss about when I take pumping breaks. My job is very different because I'm a research scientist. So in some ways, it doesn't matter how long I'm at work. I just need to accomplish the same amount of tasks. So I just pump when I need to pump, and it doesn't specifically matter to my employer, as long as at the end of the day I've accomplished what I need to get done.
That was kind of my situation as well. I felt so incredibly lucky. Like, my boss was just like, yep, pump when you need to and just get whatever you need done at that time.
The only time that it was an issue that we actually had to have a conversation was about a particular week when we were doing a very intense work schedule, and I said, I cannot physically do it by myself because, as Christine mentioned, my breasts will explode if I go more than 6 hours without pumping. And so for that day, I went 6 hours, and that was a very long stretch for me. But they also provided me a technician so that I didn't have to go, 8 or 10 hours without pumping. And I'm sure that if I had really, really needed to pump beforehand, I would have tried to find a way to do that.
And also, it was very situational.
Exactly.
Sometimes we can be flexible with it as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. How about you, Rosario?
It was when I went back to work. I just talked to my boss. She's a female, so she completely understood, and she was very understandable and told me, whenever you need to take a break, just let me know. So I pretty much take a morning break at work, 8:30 to 5. So I take a morning break, then I pump on my lunch. Luckily, I have an hour lunch, so that's when my good pumping sessions are, and then in the afternoon.
Perfect. All right, when we come back, Wendy will discuss what a mom can do if she's faced with a challenging situation at work and a boss who is less than supportive of her pumping rights. We'll be right back. All right, so we're back with Wendy Wright. She's an international board certified lactation consultant and founder of Lactation Navigation. And we are talking about workplace lactation and a mom's right to pump at work. So, Wendy, what about the part of the law that states that a mom is not allowed to pump in the restroom? Sometimes there aren't places for women to pump other than the restroom. So have you had to come up with any creative ideas for where a mom can pump if a lactation room is not set in place at her work?
Yeah, we are always looking for creative ideas. And in fact, if the woman is offered the restroom, it's not so much that she's not allowed to pump there. If she chooses to pump there, she's absolutely permitted. It's just that they cannot only provide a restroom for her to pump in. So as long as there's another space. And what I'll often do is ask the woman who's pregnant to walk around, look for storage rooms, empty cubicles, any space, because it's always better to go to the HR department or your employer and say, I know we don't have a breastfeeding room. Here are four locations that would work within our facility, and identify those for them, because they may not think that the storage closet is an appropriate place, and it actually would be absolutely fine. So they just don't know the rules as much. Maybe a conference room that doesn't have windows that could be locked occasionally would be absolutely fine. So it's best if the woman can go around and identify for the employer, just to kind of make things easier and make that happen. One of the best creative solutions I've seen is this company that they have a traveling shower curtain, and they, as you become pregnant within the company, the culture is very, very open to this, but they just don't have any space. It's a telemarketing company where everybody's on the phone all the time, and everybody sits in cubicle after cubicle after cubicle. And what they do is, when you come in and you say, oh, I'm pregnant, you get the shower curtain, and the shower curtain goes across your cubby, your little cubicle.
That is awesome.
Mind you, yeah, the cubicles are not tall enough for anyone could look over. So you might think, oh, well, that's not private, but the company has had such a culture of understanding. As soon as you see that shower curtain, everybody averts their eyes because they know the pumping may be going on.
Women
feel 100% comfortable. They just have the shower curtain, and when the shower curtain's closed, everybody respects it. So it's interesting how that is not, if you think about it, it's not even 100% compliant with the law, and yet it's working so much better than some of these places, you know, that go out of their way to create this most beautiful room in the world. So it's really about the company culture when it comes right down to it.
Absolutely. And so, wait, they give this to the mom even when she's pregnant too?
Yes, yeah, just to start to get people to know
it.
That this will be happening. Yeah, yeah.
Well, and also, I mean, I would hate for my first day to be back the first day you try it out. So that's fantastic. I love it. Ladies, where do you pump at work, and has this worked out okay for you? Rosario, you mentioned that you actually had to ask for a place closer to where you were, where your office is.
Yes, because when I went to HR and I looked on, the university's website, they're very pro family and breastfeeding for their students, but I didn't see anything for their staff or faculty. So, you know, sometimes faculty, they have their own offices, they have, you know, different schedules, so they can very well find the time. But mostly for staff members, moms, you know, coming back, that could be very daunting, you know, finding a place if you don't have your own. So they did find that supply room pretty close. And the other four spaces that they had already, you know, located or said, oh, you can breastfeed there, they were mostly all bathrooms. And so I was the one to kind of point out, like, oh, okay, well, that's good, but, you know, that's not the ideal place, you know, could we maybe work on something? And they actually, one of the bathrooms, you know, they were saying, oh, but this is a family bathroom, you know, we have a chair in there. And I was like, yeah, the chair is right in front of the toilet, like, I am not going to choose to pump in the toilet, I'm sorry, you know, we need to work on this. And I was happy that a couple months ago they removed that toilet from there, they put a rocking chair.
Oh, no.
And so
way.
Yeah, so I was really happy and pleased that, you know, they're slowly but surely moving towards, you know, their lactation rooms, their accommodations are that, better.
It's so wonderful to hear that when businesses actually are listening.
Well, I kind of pushed it, and then, you know,
well,
I got like the Breastfeeding Coalition involved, and everybody who I could talk to and get involved, and also talk with HR and whoever else was involved to do so. And it's still a work in process, but I'm kind of happy that
spearheading
Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool. And Elizabeth, how are your lactation rooms?
Well, the one at the Hillcrest facility is fantastic, and it was created by a previous mom who did sort of the same thing that Rosario did in terms of getting it all set up. And they actually even have a hospital grade pump there that I could theoretically use if I got the parts for it. But it's just a single seater, you know, just one person can be in there at a time. And right now we have three lactating moms, which is fantastic, but hard to work
around. Schedule your time there.
So I used to just pump in my office, but now I have office mates, and I think they would probably prefer that I not pump in there anymore. So at Hillcrest, I use the facility that is adjacent to the bathroom, but it's a separate space. Yeah. So you can hear toilets flushing and stuff, but it's not
it's not right in front of you.
At the VA, there's a lactation room in the basement, and it's also adjacent to a bathroom, but there's a whole little locker room area, and so it's more private, and it's a two-seater, so that's a little better for me in terms of not
scheduling
being able to schedule easily. And then on the UCSD main campus, I probably just haven't located a lactation room that's closest to the building that I work in. But it's just easier for me to either pump in my car when I first arrive and then just pump in the, like, handicap bathroom that's a single bathroom unit, because it just takes too long to try to do something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Christine, how about you? What's your lactation room look like?
Well, actually, I mentioned earlier that the Navy has to provide a lactation room per command that would accommodate lactating moms. But my command is really large, and it spans several miles. We have one lactation room for our entire command. I've been working with another woman who's lactating at work to try to convince our commanding officer to give us more spaces, because there are tons of lactating moms, and it should be encouraged for not only our sake and our child's sake, but for their sake too, because it keeps us out of having to go to medical. It keeps us healthy. So I actually pump in my locker room at work, which is part of the bathroom, but it's a separate area that has a couch and several outlets, and that's worked out for me pretty well so far. It's not ideal, but it's better than walking 3/4 of a mile to get to the lactation room.
Totally, totally. Wendy, what can a mom do if her employer says that her absence while pumping will cause undue hardship and that she won't be able to pump while at work? What is the recommended way to handle this uncomfortable situation?
So that's a really tough one, because very, very few will actually say that. And when they usually say it, they're usually right. So, but undue hardship is where the key comes in there. Hardship is one thing, but undue hardship is what we're looking for. So I think at that point, the woman should have a very, very frank discussion with the employer just to say, let's make sure this is actually undue hardship. And what really comes down to being the concern many times is when you come immediately back from maternity leave, you are pumping 3 times a day and you are gone for an hour potentially throughout the day. So that can be a sense of a hardship. However, if the employer understands that by the time the baby is approximately 6 months old, we'll be starting solids, mom may be able to reduce one pumping session, then of course by the time the baby is 9 months old, the mom might possibly even be able to reduce 2 pumping sessions. And then at 1 year, many moms are no longer pumping at work. Some are, but they could just pump on their lunchtime, and in that case, there's no hardship. So really making sure that the hardship, which may be perceived and may be correct, is really only a couple of months, maybe 3 or 4 months. If that can be talked about generally, we can get over it. However, if it truly is a hardship, I think it's definitely worth a phone call to your local breastfeeding coalition or labor commissioner just to make sure that we don't need to push things. Most women, though, will not push it that hard because the job that they have is something that they're very, very interested in doing, and difficult at that point to give up your job, which is often tied to their health benefits. So it's a touchy situation. So I think really diving into what is hardship versus undue hardship is the big advantage that the woman can have in discussing.
And I guess another important thing to mention too is that just because we get rid of daytime nursing sessions doesn't mean the mom has to completely quit breastfeeding as well. So if it's a job where it's, you know, absolutely important that she, you know, continues to have this job and she's not going to be able to pump at work, then continuing the breastfeeding throughout the day when she's home with her baby and throughout the night, and then offering something else while she's gone.
Yeah, that's the perfect solution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So one of our Facebook followers, Christina, asked, does the law change once the baby is 1 year old? And if so, is it reasonable to request accommodation after 1 year, especially if the baby has food intolerances and really needs the breast milk beyond a year?
Yeah, so the federal law only covers women for 1 year, and that's 1 year from the date of the baby's birth. So if you return to work at, you know, 4 months, you're covered for 8 months. Other states, about 20 of them, are until you stop breastfeeding. So that could be 3-4 years, whatever you need. Although it is true that most women, I mean, when there are food intolerances and allergies things, you may need to pump a little bit more than one time at 1 year. But often around that 1 year of age, women are happy to stop pumping.
Yeah.
And they're offering other things. Yeah. But yeah, absolutely. And I think that would be the time, even if you needed to get a note from the pediatrician that would make it medically necessary, and then I would think that it would be easy to continue, especially because it would not be as frequent, most likely, as it had been at the start.
Okay, and where are your favorite online resources for up-to-date information about the laws that protect a woman's right to pump at work?
You know, I am really a fan of looking at your local coalition just to find out who around the area knows what's going on. And then I also love the United States Breastfeeding Committee. They have some great workplace support and federal law from a national perspective as well as all of the states' perspectives. So that's a really nice place to look at. And then the last group that I think is important for women to take a look at is a group called the National Business Group on Health. And this is a group that doesn't come at it from a governmental perspective or from a healthcare perspective, but they come at it from a business perspective. And oftentimes it's important to look at that kind of information before you go in and talk to your employer. Your employer doesn't care about bonding time with baby or the amount of time, right? Your employer wants to know, how long is this going to take, and maybe does it benefit me in some way? And that's the advantage of looking at those kinds of sites, because we don't want to go in there and give a lactation lecture about the beauty of breastfeeding. We want to go in there and talk about, you know, the lower health costs for you, and the more motivated I'm going to be to stay as your employee if you give me this time. So we turn the messages around by looking at those sorts of websites and get into the business speak. We take some of the mushy breastfeeding stuff that is inappropriate to speak about anyway with your boss.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Wendy, for your insight into workplace lactation and the rights that protect pumping moms at work. And just for our listeners, so this is the first one in our series of four with Wendy, where we'll be really delving into getting breastfeeding, you know, getting pumping working for you while you're back at work and lots of other topics. So, and for our Boob Group Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of the show as Wendy will discuss her top three tips for making pumping work for you when you return to work. So for more information about the Boob Group Club, please visit our website at theboobgroup.com.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
So here is a question from one of our listeners. This is from Julie from Tennessee. Hi, Boob Group. I just liked your app on iTunes. I love how easy it is to listen to all of the episodes and even star your favorite for easy access. I'm wondering if there is a way to listen to all of the episodes continuously without having to click on a new episode each time. It would make listening in the car so much easier. Thanks.
Hi, Julie. This is Sunny. I'm one of the producers on the Boob Group. First of all, thank you so much for downloading our app. And I know that a lot of people like to listen to us in the car. And that continuous playback that you're referring to is really helpful. So here's what you're going to do. When you log into the app, go to the settings page. If you scroll down, you should see an area that says continuous playback. If you click on all episodes, a little check mark will appear. And then that means whenever one episode is done, it's going to go to the next one in sequential order. You can also select to do continuous playback by your starred episodes, which are your favorite episodes, or even if you want to repeat a current episode. So that's all you have to do. Thanks so much for the question.
Thank you so much to our expert panelists and all of our listeners. If you have any questions about today's show or the topics we discussed, call our Boob Group hotline at 619-866-4775 and we'll answer your question on an upcoming episode. If you have a breastfeeding topic you'd like to suggest, we would love to hear it. Simply visit our website, theboobgroup.com, and send us an email through the contact link. Coming up next week, we'll have Annie, Cherry, and Jennifer back on the show to talk about what life has been like during their baby's 8th month in our series, Breastfeeding Expectations. Thanks for listening to The Boob Group, your judgment-free breastfeeding resource.
The views and experiences shared by Christine in this episode are her own personal opinions and not that of the United States Armed Forces.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
Hey mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.